Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Imagine that sound in your eardrum, and that's certainly what the firefighters are seeing, feeling, and hearing. And yes, they've been trained and they know those sounds, but how about the people that they're desperately trying to evacuate? It has been a rough couple of weeks. Certainly it's been rough in the sense of the loss of human life and the amount of acreage in California. In Washington, the smog around Seattle, ridiculous. Portland, the worst on the day, on Wednesday, and it just keeps alternating between several of those places, and it's the fires that have been given these names that they're trying to put out as quickly as they can, but this is not a process that's going quickly. It's one that's taking a long time, frankly, and it's not for lack of incredible effort on the front of the firefighters. And then the wall of water that smashed into Pensacola, where it was like a floating city, and not just Pensacola, but some other surrounding areas as well. The storm surge, incredible white caps, though, in downtown Pensacola, Florida, rather. Just insane. Kate Delaney, and here we are as we get ready to roll into another weekend and the conversation over my fence and your fence, if we were talking, because that's how this show rolls, about what affects you and what affects me and what we think is important. We've got an election coming up. We have choices to make, and we have choices in our own life to make when it comes to our survival, our economic state, that we can't always control. I know some incredible people that have sacrificed a lot to do what they do, and through no fault of their own, they're being dumped from companies because workforce is shrinking in some occupations that we've been forced to reimagine and really reinvent our lives. But the good news is that a lot of people are reaching out and helping each other. So while we still deal with the coronavirus and we wonder about the validity of hearing, oh, the vaccine is just around the corner, there is an answer to this, and it's here sooner rather than later. And the tug of war between science and politics that is just incredible and just seems to get worse is every man for himself in that sense of what are you taking out of this and what do you think is where you should be paying attention. So deaths in the United States, 196,000, we're very close to that 200,000 mark. 6.64 million cases worldwide, 939 deaths. 20.2 million have recovered, thank goodness, and worldwide total cases, 29.8 million. What happened to 2020? It is disappearing. It is almost in our rearview mirror. Here we are heading into the fall and in the last quarter of what is this game of life in a very strange year, waiting to see what's going to happen in 2021. I can tell you this. I can almost guarantee when people make resolutions or wishes, when the proverbial ball drops on Times Square, because who knows, or whatever your New Year's tradition is, I have a feeling I could probably predict what 80, maybe 85% of you will wish for. The people in Pensacola, as they watch where, you know, there's still 20 plus people missing because some of these historic fires and the battle to save so many areas. The people in Pensacola that I mentioned right at the top have the opposite problem. It's about now drying off because Hurricane Sally came ashore and at least one person died, they think more, but 30 inches of rain. So there was really, truly that widespread flooding that so many people fear because it's not a little flood. It's not a medium flood. No, it's a catastrophic flood. And what does that mean? It's how I described it, white caps in the middle of a city. And you see down trees and debris and boats that are just looking like some kid tossed them into a tub. But no, these are real big boats, like barges that are loose, that are flying down the street and end up on golf courses or end up in parking lots. Seriously, that's what it was. So Sally is the eighth named storm to hit landfall in the continental U.S. this year, the most through September 16th in recorded history. So let me emphasize that. You take something away from this show. Here's your fact, and this is fact. The eighth storm, and it is the most, the storm, the most through September 16th in recorded history. That's how many. Crazy. So more than 500,000 homes and businesses just starting to get some power back in Alabama, Florida, and Louisiana. They're, you know, fingers crossed, more are coming on board, but a lot of poles were torn down. So there were people that still find themselves in that situation of being in an outage and, you know, going to bed with flashlights, et cetera, and hoping that the next day brings that energy that that we are so dependent on. And this storm surge was, you know, just crazy. Sections of Alabama's Gulf State Park Pier were destroyed, and you could see just large sections of structure gone. And the scenes that to me really showed it, I think, was when you looked at what people were posting on social media, because they were there with their cell phones or whatever, getting things at the moment, taking photographs at the moment. And of course, the Weather Channel had people all over the place, and we were getting updates. You know, now it's no joke. It used to be Dan Rather one time said, you know, it was a storm that helped move him up to a network level, even bigger in a network level eye. And now it's so commonplace to see weather people being tossed around, especially this year, in front of a mic, in front of a scene somewhere where the water is pretty high or the winds are super, super high. And this was really about the water more than I think anything else. It was phenomenal, sadly, in the wrong way. And drone photos really, 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 really showed that. We got coming up here on the show a very big, very big mic drop moment. I think a real shocker to people who did not think that this was going to happen. With everything that we're dealing with, and I'll give you a hint, and the need to chill and watch something that was like our blanket to us when we were kids is coming back. I'll explain. Mic drop on the flip side.
The battle of late stage or terminal illness is a fight that affects everything and everyone in your life. If you or a loved one are dealing with advanced stage conditions that are causing financial hardship, like stage 3 or stage 4 cancer, Alzheimer's, COPD, or ALS, then this message is for you. Our Funds for Living program make it a simple 3-step process. Text the word LIVE to 411-411 or visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and we'll send you a link to get started. Choose the amount of money you need. Apply in seconds. That's it. And you're under no obligation. Fifth Season will advance a portion of your life insurance policy and take over your premium payments so you can provide immediate financial relief to the ones you love, all without any out-of-pocket expenses. Fifth Season Financial wants to help you live your best life. Text LIVE to 411-411. Text the word LIVE to 411-411.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
He is the authority, in my mind, on Lincoln. And Lincoln often gets quoted, misquoted, etc. But so many look to Lincoln, especially Republicans. And this year we're hearing a lot about Lincoln. So listen to what he has to say. And he's got a fabulous book about it, too, as well. So we are thick in the political season. We are knee-deep into it, as they say. Less than 50 days to go before our November 3rd elections, which are important in many places as to who's representing you in Washington and, of course, the presidential race. Joe Biden and Donald Trump square off on the 29th. Chris Wallace is the host of that on Fox. That's the first one of three. Can't wait to see what that's like, because there's so many serious things that are facing Americans. And I wonder what that dance will be and what Wallace will serve up as far as his questions and keeping people on track. All right, so mic drop moments. I want to stay on track. Follow this timeline with me, if you will. So think about the summertime and think about, you know, how big that is, gearing up for college football. So the Big Ten announced a 10-game schedule initially. There was going to be 10 games. That's what they were going to do. This is how they were dealing with the coronavirus. And then the mid-August, the Big Ten presidents and chancellors voted to postpone all fall sports, including football. Then Nebraska was one of the first teams to walk back from comments that were made by the head coach of the Cornhuskers, Scott Frost, Chris Brosnan told reporters that the only reason his team would look at other options was if the Big Ten wasn't playing and a handful of teams from the Big Ten wanted to try to play. He said, I think we're prepared to look at all the options. The University of Nebraska-Lincoln is a fully committed member of the Big Ten Conference. Then you had parents who were enraged, and they spoke out about the decision to postpone the season, the letters bombarding the various teams. Then you had Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields, who came up with a petition to restart the season, tweeted it, talked about it, got the signatures, over 302,000 future politicians. Then a Penn State athletic director said she doesn't want to see the Big Ten reversing course. There's a lot of frustration that definitely was happening. Parents of Big Ten players protested outside the Big Ten headquarters, and they sent an open letter to the Big Ten. You had 8 Nebraska football players who sued the conference. Then you had the president holding a phone call to talk about why this decision, the head of the Big Ten. Then you had Michigan parents protesting along with the coach, Jim Harbaugh. Then you had politicians from 6 states ask the Big Ten to reconsider their decision. Then you had the Nebraska Attorney General, Doug Peterson, questioning the legality of a postponement. So you get it. There were so many things that went into this, what then became a seesaw. And so guess what happened? On the 16th of September, Christmas came early. The Big Ten announced that they're going to begin the season starting the weekend of October 23rd and 24th. Can I hear a mic drop? Yeah. Wow. Shocking. But that's what they decided. I mean, rapidly changing. They're doing the testing. And they're testing on all 14 campuses. With the return to play, the conference is adopting some medical protocols, daily antigen testing, enhanced cardiac screening, and enhanced data-driven approach, they say, when making decisions about practice and competition. So, wow. Not what I expected to see, because they had dug their heels in. They were doing it, figured other teams, other conferences would follow suit, and they didn't get very many takers, and that was part of it. And I think the pressure as well to continue to play, and especially in looking at pro sports, what was happening, why couldn't they do that in college sports, but especially why couldn't they do that in college of football. So there you go. It is back. It is back. What's happening with the airlines and transportation? You know, sometimes you would see alums that would fly the games. Will some of the alums fly to the games? Of course they will. But I read an interesting story about what's happening in the air. And one of the things that is being talked about that you'll notice with flight is that like a flock of birds, rather, who figure out the aerodynamics of how to save their energy in flight, there is a formation to how they fly, right? So what's interesting is now planes are, they're talking about some of the planes doing the same thing. The calculations of a flight, I don't think they'll ever be able to match it completely, but they're talking about the formations of flight and how you'll see that passenger jets could soon be kind of flying in formation. And what would that look like? It would be that giant V formation, as to the bird, like I was saying. And it would mean you would save maybe up to 10% fuel on long trips. There would be significant emission reductions. There would be collaboration with airlines, air traffic controllers, and all the regulations. So I'll be curious if that helps with using the air upwash to lift a follower kind of aircraft. And that's the theory. And there have been a lot of demonstrations. There are lots of conversations about making this a reality. There's test flights that are happening to the quality of the aerodynamic efficiencies while developing in-flight operational procedures. And I don't know, how do you feel about that? Flying in a V pattern, you look over and you see, oh, well, there's planes here and there's planes there. We're on the same formation. That's pretty cool. I say if it's, you know, if you're saving fuel and there are other things that are benefits to it, of course, why not? If it's a real possibility, there's still a lot of different testing that has to be done, of course. But I like the idea of it. I do. I like the idea of it. That's what you call, again, reimagining. It's that critical thinking. Okay, what can we do? How can we save on fuel? What can we do for the passengers? What can we do for the airline? And a lot of different airlines got together and really addressed it, addressed the possibilities, and came up with that idea. And I, you know, to me, the first thing that I think of is the Blue Angels. Oh, I mean, all in formation. But flying in formation is different than, trick flying and flying upside down and all the things they, with the Flying Angels, which are spectacular, but that's all about showmanship, and it's not about that when we're talking about flying a certain way. So while the decision to fly a certain way, except for Air Force One, which will take it, take over the airspace wherever they want to go, is the whole different thing. I mentioned the debates on the 29th, and I'm curious as to the direction the debates will take with Joe Biden and Donald Trump. What he's been saying during the pandemic and what Biden has been saying during the pandemic, I think will be very, very big and play into some decisions maybe or last-minute decisions. I think by now, I've said this, most of us have our minds made up. But there may be, in those battleground states, which is why they're so important, there may actually be some who are not decided, who are not decided on what they're going to do. And they're looking for, you know, they're looking for the sure thing. And what sure thing is there? There is no sure thing. Or, trust me, I would have taken it, I would have had it, whatever. There's no 100%. It's the spin, it's the take on the vaccine and when it's going to be ready. It's how safe people feel. So it's pretty interesting to watch the development of this vaccine and to see where it ends up. All right, we're talking about Lincoln coming up with one of my favorite dudes, Joseph Arruda. You don't want to miss it. She wears a button on her shoulder.
With a MechTech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, MechTech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that MechTech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump says there could be a COVID-19 vaccine ready as soon as next month. And after that, distribution will begin.
We're on track to deliver and distribute the vaccine in a very, very safe and effective manner. We think we can start sometime in October. So as soon as it is announced, we'll be able to start. That'll be from mid-October on.
That would be much faster than what CDC Director Robert Redfield told Congress earlier. He said it would be the middle of next year or a little later. The president said Redfield was mistaken. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden is again going after the president's COVID-19 response.
Let me be clear. I trust vaccines, I trust scientists, but I don't trust Donald Trump. And at this moment, the American people can't either.
This is USA Radio News. President Trump is saying he could support much of what is in a bipartisan coronavirus relief package that was unveiled earlier this week.
I do like a lot of money getting sent to people that really were hurt unnecessarily by China because they could have stopped it.
He called on congressional Republicans to support a massive economic relief bill with much higher numbers. The plan includes enhanced unemployment benefits, money for states and local governments, and liability protection for employers. In Pensacola, Florida, there's now a dusk-to-dawn curfew in effect after now Tropical Storm Sally tore through the area.
There is going to be a lot of property damage. I mean, when you see downtown Pensacola and you see 3 feet of water there, that's going to affect probably every business that's in downtown Pensacola. There's just no two ways about it.
Governor Ron DeSantis. Alabama forecasters are warning that some river crests could break records. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
I'm such a huge fan of Abraham Lincoln's. I can't even imagine tackling his story, but someone who's done it so beautifully in this book is fantastic is Joseph Rota. He's in our virtual green room right now, and he's written a book called Abraham Lincoln Making a Case, The Story of a Master. Joe, thanks so much for coming on.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for the invitation.
So what made you write this book? Why'd you write the book?
It was really to share what I had come to learn in my own research of Lincoln's ability to persuade in speeches and on paper. I began this project as a result of giving seminars to lawyers and lay people, and was constantly met with suggestions that I should write this. And so I did, as the research for it became greater, the notes expanded, it kind of lent itself to the format that was ultimately chosen. But I found that most people, like myself, before I began this research, were not aware, even lawyers were not aware, for example, of how good he was in the courtroom before he turned to politics.
And so, you know, you talk about, you already mentioned the word persuasion. What made him so good at persuasion?
It was a combination of things. His personality, his intellect, and his credibility, and then his masterful use of clarity, fact, logic, and emotion.
So tell us about personality, because I think people don't know a lot about Lincoln's personality.
He loved to speak. He used to say he drew energy from it. He could try a case all day and then go give a lecture for 3 or 4 hours the same night. He also wanted recognition. He was very ambitious, and politics was the fastest way to recognition in his day. And he was a perfectionist and willing to spend the time in research, analysis, and drafting to make his speeches good. And finally, he had an ear for rhythm in speech, which lent further power to his speeches and to his writings.
Boy, yeah, I would agree with that after going back and looking at some of his work. What would you say were, when you look at the speeches that he gave, were his two biggest speeches that people remember and really show how he was at persuasion and the gift of how he weaved his words?
Probably the Gettysburg Address and his second inaugural address, the two speeches of his that are etched into his monument in Washington. The Gettysburg Address, and both of them were short. We think of Lincoln sometimes with his three-hour speeches, which was common in that day for orators. But these two were very short, 200 words for Gettysburg and just a little over 700 for the second inaugural.
Wow. And, you know, you talk about how he loved to speak. You talk about his intellect. And the thing that so many of us remember, we learned it when we were kids. This is one thing we learned for sure. His nickname, Honest Abe. Why did he have such credibility?
He believed that if you were going to persuade someone, he said, you must first make him think you are his friend. And he conveyed that in many ways. He conveyed sincerity. He conveyed goodwill and good humor, often responding to a nasty comment by one of his opponents with a joke, one of the many that he stored for the proper occasion. He also conceded points that were true or not essential to his case, which lent credibility then to the points that he did emphasize very strongly.
Yeah, and he knew how to emphasize them for sure. We're speaking with Joe Rota, Abraham Lincoln Making a Case, the Story of a Master. You can pick it up on Amazon. We're in the era of fact-checking. You know, we're always fact-checking politicians, and then we have fake news versus fact. And you say that Lincoln was a stickler for fact. Tell us
absolutely
about that.
Absolutely. His youngest partner, after his death, said that Lincoln would not speak about anything until he could learn as much as possible about it. When he became president, for example, he recognized he had no military background to speak of, and he became the single biggest borrower from the Library of Congress. And the texts that he was taking out were military ones. But whether it be an issue in his cases as a lawyer, or an issue in politics, he researched things to get the facts, and then once he had them, he emphasized them. He emphasized that a statement he had just made was not his opinion, but a fact. And then he challenged his opponents to meet his facts with contrary, true facts, and he pounced when the opponent could not do so. It was, in many ways, his tremendous command of facts that so impressed the audiences that heard him. They would see him for the first time, and he was gangly, awkward, looked like anything but a statesman. And then he would come out with this beautiful, magnificently arranged array of fact after fact after fact. It was said that by the time he finished his rendition of facts, his argument had already been made. It also said that for the first 30 minutes of one of his speeches, as he laid out his facts, all his opponent could do was sit there and nod yes.
Because they were stunned. They had no response back to that. Boy, and that illustrates it. So you look at Lincoln, and often politicians hearken back to Lincoln for a reason. How do you think Lincoln would do today?
I think he would do very well. He was a very intelligent person. He used to deprecate his intelligence, saying that his mind was like steel or a hard rock, very difficult to get anything etched into it, and once in it, very difficult, almost impossible to get it out. But in fact, he had a first-rate mind. This is a man who had less than a year of formal schooling, and that only in backwards rural one-room schoolhouses. He was self-taught on persuasion. This was the era, for example, of oratory. It was the era begun by Daniel Webster, Henry Clay, John Calhoun. Orators were celebrities, and because of that, every good school taught oratory and rhetoric. And yet, in this mix, with so many talented orators surrounding him, this one man with no formal education in oratory and virtually no formal education at all rose ultimately above everybody to the highest office in the land. He was very adaptive as a politician. There was no shrewder politician in his day. And I think that without question, he would do very well. While he gave long speeches, he also, as I mentioned, gave short ones very effectively. I cannot imagine anybody being better at a soundbite than the person who authored the statement that the world will little remember, will not long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. Or with malice towards all, with malice towards none, charity for all. The author of that would do very well on TV, in debates, you name it.
Boy, I agree with that, and you're right, because he has those, you know what he would do? He would do so well with hashtags, because everybody would be repeating what he said, and we see that often that still does happen. How does your book, Joe, differ from other books on Lincoln that have been written out there?
Well, biographies of Lincoln mention, of course, his famous speeches and writings, but they do so packaged in with hundreds of pages on the other aspects of his truly fascinating life, and it was truly fascinating. He was Shakespeare in the 19th century. My book focuses on one thing only, his ability to persuade and its importance in his life. And while other books on Lincoln or articles look at a given speech or writing of his, I look at all his important speeches and writings. And while other books look at what made him so good, mine looks at those features, such as credibility, clarity, and the rest, in greater detail than I have found in other resources on him.
And Joe's book again, Abraham Lincoln, Making a Case, The Story of a Master. And you can find it again, Joseph Rota. Look there. It's easy to look it up on Amazon. Who do you think would love this book? I think anyone could use this book, frankly, but for whom do you think this book would be of interest?
Well, certainly anyone who seeks to persuade, and I'm not just speaking of lawyers such as myself, but anyone, salespeople, politicians, whatever. But also I think any of the thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of Lincoln fans. This book gives a slice of his life in detail that was all important. And indeed, we remember Lincoln for many things, but without his ability to persuade, we would remember him for nothing. We would never have heard of him. It was this talent, and only that talent, that propelled him from a local, out-of-office politician with no apparent future for anything to the highest office in the land and the place in history that he has.
Well, again, it's so interesting to read this book, and you just summed up the reasons why. Just quickly, 30 seconds left. Joe, was it fun writing this?
Very much fun. Yes, I enjoyed the evolution of it. There were times when I wondered, but I really get it into a book form. But it was, I learned so much about him and so much more impressive than when I began.
Perfect place to end this. Abraham Lincoln, Making a Case, The Story of a Master. Joe Rota, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kate.
Abraham Lincoln, I would like to go back in time and be your wife.
As the
coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Snow is a member of IBM's X-Force Red Team and is a well-renowned social engineer or ethical hacker. She uses her skills to help people stay protected and informed. Thank goodness for that. And we are thrilled to have her with us because what a perfect time to talk about what is going on with COVID-19 and all the scammers that are out there. And IBM Security and Morning Consult just did a 2020 Consumer and Small Business COVID-19 Awareness Study, and some of it was pretty frightening. I just was reading that the other day. Snow, thanks so much for popping on.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about scammers and who are they targeting and, of course, why?
So since this pandemic has started, it's really impacted everyone, especially consumers and small business owners. They're constantly being bombarded with changing information from stimulus checks to stay-at-home orders, small business loans, and even the promise of vaccines. And because of this, scammers are targeting them by playing off of their fear and confusion. And since COVID-19 was declared a pandemic, IBM X-Force saw a 6,000% increase in COVID-19-related spam.
Wow. That's a lot. So what do they look like? What do the COVID-19-related scams look like? How can we tell?
Yeah, so the scams have really ranged from emails impersonating major banks like American Express and Wells Fargo, all the way to claiming to be the SBA and even the WHO. So an example of one that we've seen, it pretends to be a major bank, and in the email it says that you've received your stimulus fund credit, but to authorize this and to get your money, you have to first verify yourself. So if you click the link, it takes you to a website that looks almost identical to your bank's login. And if you were to give them your username and password and try to log in, the attackers would then have access to the information, and they could log into your bank and do things like empty out your account or do a wire transfer on your behalf.
Ooh, that's scary. And I can see, I mean, they're clever at disguising it, so it looks real. You're rushing around, and boom, you go for it, especially when you talk about a stimulus because you want the money.
Absolutely. And attackers they're really smart. They're paying attention to current times, and they're adjusting as things change. So it makes it a lot harder.
All right, once again, we're speaking with Snow, and she's an expert at this kind of stuff. So what about phone calls? Because there's text and phone calls, too, correct?
Absolutely. So one of the things to think about with phone calls is attackers can change their caller ID to look like anything they want, such as an IT department or a bank. So that's a tactic that they're really good at using, is calling you from a number that appears to be legitimate and maybe ask you to verify your information or supply some type of account information or banking information. And it's pretty clever tactic because it looks legitimate.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, it's about the awareness. And Snow, you're a member of IBM's X-Force Red Team. Tell us what that's about.
So we are a group of hackers, and I specifically am a social engineer, which is another word for like a modern-day con artist. But me and my team, we test networks, people, buildings, and we try to break into them to find any vulnerabilities for our clients before bad guys do. So our job is to think like a criminal with the end goal of keeping our clients safe.
I love that. So how do you get into that? So you were obviously very good at what you did. You knew how to think of all the angles, and you must brainstorm on them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a very talented team of people, and we all collaborate together. But I actually have an interesting background. My background is special effects makeup, and I'm able to leverage that into some of the work I do. So if we do go on site to a client and are actually trying to break into their facility, we can do things like disguises and things like that. So it's really fun to be able to leverage another skill set I have into what I do.
Boy, no kidding. Well, I've got to ask you this. Consumers, small businesses, what can we do to protect ourselves?
One of the biggest things I like to tell people is to slow down. Right now, because of the pandemic, a lot of people are feeling rushed and, you know, they're really scared, but you just have to slow down. Or if you're on your phone, it's a small screen, so it's really hard to see all of the details. And make sure you question things. If an email or call, you know, look or feel shady, they probably are. And the other thing is to go to the website directly. So let's say you receive an email that might be your bank. Instead of clicking on links or opening attachments, go to their website directly. More times than not, they have this information on the homepage or link to an FAQ page where you can get tons of information. And then the last thing I'd like to suggest is enable multi-factor authentication. This is really just an extra security layer. So instead of logging in with just your username and password, you also have an additional piece of information you have to enter, like the code from a text message. That way, if attackers do have your username and password, they can't log in without that extra code.
Oh, that is so, so good. Well, I think it's so interesting what you do, Snow. And one last thing, where can listeners go for more info on this?
Absolutely. So for more information, listeners can go to ibm.com/COVID-19.
All right, perfect. Snow, keep doing what you're doing. Wow, so intriguing. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, how interesting is that when you think about what she's doing? And Snow mentioned some things, like you look at these alleged emails from the IRS, and 35% of the respondents to that awareness study that I mentioned expect to hear communications from the IRS by mail. And despite all the warnings from the IRS and from various law enforcement agencies and anybody you can think of connected to the security community, the IRS is never going to email you about your tax filing. So just put that in your head, plant that in your head. You're not going to get an email on it. And if you do, it is a scam. They are phishing. They are looking for you. So here's something else pulling out of our conversation. You look at small business owners and this confusion that's kind of all over the place. Only 14% of small business owners feel like they're knowledgeable about the process to get across to get access, rather, to the government's Small Business Loan Relief Program. We just had more money put into that, so a second layer of that, right? And despite the guidance that's out there that's offered all over the place, again, going, as Snow said, going directly to the site, I guess it's she's right. It's the cycle of being so fast to quickly react and do things that we're not paying attention. We're not thinking that it's any kind of clickbait or any of that kind of stuff. And, of course, the stimulus checks and COVID-19, it's a disaster for this. Testing is, you know, it's become the perfect clickbait. And on that survey, over half of the people responded said they would click on links or open attachment in emails, any of the emails they got that pertain to their stimulus check eligibility. And again, it looks so real, so once you click on it, boom, they are in. So somebody who's trying to get you, and that's why this team that they have, the IBM X-Force Red Team, I mean, how clever is that? How smart? Because they're trying to stay ahead of the game to think of what a criminal would do and what is it that they would put out there to try to pull you in, what kind of scam. And because we're in unprecedented times, in uncharted waters especially, but always, I shouldn't say always, but mostly it's connected scams really get life when they're connected to panic and fear, and in particularly when there's something that happens that's devastating to people, and obviously COVID-19 falls into that category with the rampant unemployment and people waiting for stimulus checks, like we said, or waiting to apply for loans, any of that kind of thing. And, of course, this is so key. I can't say it enough because I know people that I think are super smart, two people in my world that got sucked into a scam, and it was related to the IRS and their business. And because it was a business thing and they were going through with the IRS what they were doing with the business, they didn't realize that this was phony. And unfortunately, it took them down a very, very scary, scary path. So glad that Snow joined us to talk about what they're doing. And as part of that ethical hacking team, the insights that they are out there providing, you know, to protect consumers and small business owners from cyber criminals, you know, while being up on everything that we need to know during the pandemic. Thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Remember, we're all in this together. Mahalo.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.